Oh, Lord, thank you for this precious time.
Amen.
Oh, we just tell you, we love you.
Amen.
We love you more today than any day in our entire life on this planet.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you for the 1st of November, 2008.
Amen.
Thank you for this Saturday, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, we ask you to speak to each one of us. Oh, appear to each one of us, God of glory.
Amen.
Infuse us with your dear self.
Amen.
Lord, apart from you, we're nothing.
Amen.
Thank you, you're here.
Amen.
Thank you, you are everything.
Amen.
Thank you, you've accomplished everything.
Amen.
Obtained everything, attained everything.
Amen.
Praise you, you're our jubilee.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Stand with you, Lord, to continue to move.
Amen.
Oh, constitute us with yourself through this time. May we all be under the clear, controlling vision of your economy.
Amen.
Oh, make your economy so clear to us right now.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, come off the page of the Bible.
Amen.
Oh, save us from just black and white letter.
Amen.
Oh, bring us into spirit and life.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
Pray for the sake of your need,
Amen.
Your purpose, your good pleasure, and your heart's desire.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, may a clear controlling vision of the Lord's economy direct my heart and burn in me until my spirit's wholly set on fire. With spirit strong and active, will press on to consummate God's goal, New Jerusalem, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. What'd you say? Hallelujah, amen. Why don't you tell your neighbor, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now your other neighbor, hallelujah. Any time we come together for the sake of the Lord and His economy, His purpose, just to be with Him, it's a rejoicing time.
Amen.
This is a time of jubilee.
Woohoo!
Hallelujah! Anyway, brothers and sisters, today, in this morning session, we'll have two sessions. This is 9 to 10:30. And every session, I would like to allot at least 20 minutes for you, because we're here just to experience the Lord, to appreciate the Lord, to see the Lord, to have Him appear to us, to enjoy Him. And how does He appear to us? How do we appreciate Him? How do we taste Him? How do we enjoy Him? It's 100% by His speaking. By His speaking. He moves by His speaking. Even His move into us is by and through His speaking. And thank the Lord, even right now, He is the speaking, dispensing, life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
And He speaks, but He speaks not just through one person giving a message, but He also speaks and necessarily speaks also in and through the body. So that's why on one hand we have a message, and then along with this, not only the Lord would speak as the Spirit through the speaking of the Word by one person, but also the Lord would speak as the speaking Spirit in and through His body.
Amen.
So, we'd like to allot at least 20 minutes at the end of each meeting for you to speak. Be ready for a 30-second overflow. 30-second overflow. So many times in the past when I first came to any conference like this or that, I was learning to, if I had an outline, just maybe just one little point that I liked, or a little asterisk, a little something I underlined, and ooh, that was the Lord's. I tasted. Taste and see. The Lord is good. And that kind of taste is the way the Lord, He appears to us. And that's the way the Lord becomes real to us. So we want to be those who are sensitive to Him as the wonderful life-giving Spirit. Remember what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5? These are verses I enjoyed yesterday. Always rejoice! Unceasingly breathe. That means pray, fellowship, enjoy the Lord. And in everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. But many times we forget the verse after that. Do not quench the Spirit. Which means we want to be very exercised to be one with Him, listening to Him, opening to Him. May the Lord sensitize us so even as we go through each message, we can all be very sensitive to Him, to His speaking, to His moving, so that He can move as He wants to move. He can constitute us as He wants to constitute. And He can be infusing us with Himself for the sake of His expression as He wants to, because we're all exercised in our listening. Remember, Revelation says, He who has an ear, let him hear. So may the Lord open our ear, especially our inner ear, and we would be those who are hearing what the Spirit is saying to the churches, so we could cooperate with Him. Well, this is I love this little book. I like even the picture in the front. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't it good? Wow. The vital factors of the Lord's recovery. Some of you are quite new among us, so I'd like to just begin in this kind of way, the Lord's recovery. We'd like to touch these two phrases, the Lord's recovery, the vital factors. Number one, what is the Lord's recovery? Well, one way to know what it is to know what it's not. The Lord's recovery is not the name of our church. Lord's recovery is not a movement. Lord's recovery is not an organization. The Lord's recovery is His move. It's His move, His working, to bring us back to Himself. Back to Himself and to His heart's desire. It's to bring us back to what the Bible says, back to the beginning, as it was in the beginning. And the Lord's recovery is His move to bring us back to His original intention. Original intention. And I love Matthew 19:8 is really good. Anyway, in that section there, the religious leaders, the ones who were always attacking and opposing the Lord Jesus, the religious leaders were trying to get Him wrapped up in nonsensical spaghetti by just blah, 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 what about this, and marriage, divorce, and this, blah, 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 just trying to get Him stuck. Like a bunch of clever lawyers or something. And the Lord just cut right through all the spaghetti with a very sharp knife. And He just said, the way He answered all their questions, because they were wanting to just get Him snared, the way He answered it says, it was not so in the beginning. It was not so in the beginning. And so He just took them back to the beginning. Let's go back, pay attention to what was in the beginning. Now, this is the Lord's desire, to take us back to the beginning. Back to the beginning. I'll just be very honest with you. When I first became a Christian, I loved the Lord. And I was, all my uncles and aunts and grandpas and all involved in all kinds of different Christian denominations, pastors and missionaries and all kinds of things. And I was in, I must have been part of about seven denominations, Christian denominations. And I remember after I got saved, people would, I'd speak the gospel to my friends. They'd say, what church do you go to? And after a while, I didn't even like the question because it was such a mess. I thought, why is this so messy? So without getting into the arguments about this denomination, that eventually through the help of Brother Nee, eventually through the help of Brother Lee, I realized, wow, they just helped me to go back to the beginning. In the beginning, there wasn't this mess. Let's go back to where there was no mess. That's the Lord's recovery. And I tell you, since that day, I'm the happiest guy in the whole universe. Woohoo! Hallelujah! Just go back to the beginning. In the beginning, there wasn't all these things. All these things came in during tradition, history, over the last 2,000 years. In the beginning, life was so simple. They just got saved. They were a bunch of Christians. They lived in Jerusalem. Who are you? We're the church. Who's the church? The church is not a building on a corner with a ding-dong and a steeple. The church is Christ living in his people. And they, where did they happen to be? They just happened to be in a locality called Jerusalem. So they're the church. And they're in Jerusalem. Very simple. Oh, that helped me so much. That helped me so much. At that time, I was in a particular denomination in Laramie, Wyoming. Believe it or not. And Laramie's a town of 18,000 people. 28,000 when school's in. University of Wyoming. was my wife and I were very, we loved the pastor, very close to him. We loved him very much. Good relationship with him and his wife. And one day we asked him just to read this book by Brother Nee that was really just the Lord's recovery. Bring us back to the beginning. And he read it. After he read it, we sat down with him and said, what do you think? He says, I think it is exactly right. It is really the truth. But it will never work. It's too idealistic. So he was just going to allow for all the mess. Say, I think we just have to go along with the mess. But the Lord said, I need some who will go back to the beginning. I need some who will go back to the simplicity and the purity. I need some that will just love me and love my body in a simple way so I could be expressed. So there's not so much confusion. Anyway, even so, he said to us, he said, well, if you really feel that way, you probably shouldn't be here any longer. We said, well, that's probably true. So we just began in a very simple way to meet where we were, and we really enjoyed the blessing. And because the simplicity is there, Christ becomes so real. Christ becomes so real. Anyway, from that day to this day, I heard just recently this same pastor was asking somebody how my wife and I are. Even to this day, he has utmost respect for us. Utmost respect. Because he realizes deep within him there's something about recovery. Going back to the beginning. Going back to the truth. Going back to the way it was in the beginning. Well, anyway, this is the Lord's recovery. And the Lord's recovery, saints, in a very simple way, is of three aspects. And in a sense, we'll touch it this weekend. The Lord's recovery is in three aspects. Number one, the three aspects of the Lord's recovery is just the recovery of Christ being everything to us. Christ is everything to us. In the Lord's recovery, nothing replaces Christ. Christ is everything. He's our life. He's our life supply. He's our joy. He's our holiness. He's our righteousness. He's our health. He's our everything. If you sing hymn 510, it has 65 items of Christ. But this Christ is all-inclusive, all-extensive. He is so rich, and we'll see this in two of the sessions today. So the Lord's recovery is back to just Christ, because this Christ is everything. He's everything. And so we'll spend time on this. Number two, the Lord's recovery is back to the oneness of the body of Christ. The oneness of the church. Not division after division and confusion after confusion. I travel a lot, and I see this all over Australia, Africa, Malaysia, Singapore, Korea, not just America. But the Lord is recovering us and bringing us back to Himself as everything and back to His expression, the one body of Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah for the oneness!
Amen.
I tell you, this means everything. And this answers the Lord's prayer. When the Lord, just before the Lord died on the cross, He prayed the deepest prayer in the whole Bible. And three times He prayed, O Father, that the believers may be one, even as You and I are one, that the world may believe that You have sent Me. The biggest proof that God has sent His Son is our genuine oneness.
Amen.
We can be gifted, we can be talented, we can be blah, 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 but if we don't have the oneness of the body of Christ, Christ cannot be exhibited. The testimony of Jesus is through the oneness of His body. I mean, here I have a physical body, but suppose this left arm is over there, and this left right leg's over there. My ear's at the door. Whoa! I think that's the end of the conference. So, this is the Lord's recovery. Then thirdly, the Lord's recovery is a recovery of just the normal, healthy functioning of all the members of the body. You know, when I grew up and with my Christian background and all, eventually, I didn't realize, but eventually the function in any of the Christian groups ended up being mainly with just one or two or three or four people. Everybody else just, when the meeting's over, goodbye. I'll see you next week. And I can't wait to get to the football game. But the Lord's recovery is a recovery of our function. Every one of us is an absolute necessity to the body of Christ. Come here, Bill. This is bubbling Bill Lawson. Look at, he's got a physical body. Every
thinner.
Yeah. But he's got all kinds of members, you know, little one, even his toes are standing there saying, Hallelujah. But every member counts. What did you say? Let's take this one off. Take that one out. And every member needs to work together. Even if you lose your toes, you kind of have to stand a little strange. You just can't, you can't do things the same. You know what I mean?
Right.
Thanks, brother. We won't take them off right now. But for the Lord's expression and for Him to really build us up as His testimony, every single dear member is needed. Wow. I like a feast. You know, a feast. Maybe you have turkey, you got gravy, you got, huh?
Stuffing.
Oh, yeah, stuffing. You got potatoes, you know, celery, rice, all kinds. You got everything. But listen, there's just a little thing on the table. It's called a salt shaker. You need that little. Some of us just, you know, we may You got a whole feast, but somebody, there's somebody in here that's just the salt. Somebody's the sugar. I just illustrate that. Every single member is needed. Every single member is needed. So I have a finger. I'd been dislocated for many years because of playing football. So it just automatically hangs out. So if I say point one, point two, point three, and then I go point four. Point four. If I'm teaching a class and I do that, then all the sisters, woo! And that's the end of the class. But I love this poor little thing. He's just hanging in there. And a lot of times I use a rubber band just to hang him in there a little bit tighter. But every member is critical. And even though he dislocates all the time, automatically I still need him. He's a help. Maybe one day he'll be corrected. I talked to a couple of surgeons. They said, well, we're not sure. But anyway. So this is the Lord's recovery. And now, how about the vital factors? So the Lord's recovery is a recovery of Christ as everything. He's the wonderful, all-inclusive Christ, the oneness of the body of Christ, and the healthy, normal function of every member for his substantial expression. Suppose Bill stood up, and he stood up here only as a mouth. There's only a mouth, nothing else about him. Something's wrong. There's not the adequate expression, but while his mouth is going, his... I told you. I don't know. But everything is needed for the expression. Everything is needed. And so these are the three aspects of the Lord's recovery. Then the vital factors. The vital factors are best illustrated. Bill, come on up again. Okay. The vital factors in the physical body are mainly the heart, the lungs, the brain, the kidneys, and the liver. If you lose any of these, that's it. Am I right? But we could remove Bill's two legs today. And we could take off this ear. And the right arm. He could lose a lot of things. We don't want him to lose those. And some have lost those things. And we don't desire that anybody would have to experience that. But what's vital is his heart, his lungs, his brain, his kidneys, and his liver. Many things could be removed. Thank you, brother. So we're spending this weekend on the vital factors of the Lord's recovery, on the spiritual heart, lungs, brain, liver, and kidneys. So that's why we want to take time. You know, the vital factors of the Lord's recovery come to now what we want to touch in the first message. The first vital factor of the Lord's recovery is the vision, the truth of God's eternal economy. This is vital. This is vital. This is critical. The vision, the truth of God's economy. So it mentions walking in the economy of God. Well, how about we read some verses? Open your Bible, please, to Acts 26. Acts 26, 16 through 19. And, 26, 16 through 19. So Paul was giving a testimony to King Agrippa. And he was telling him about how the Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus. And then verse 16, and the Lord said, "Rise up, stand on your feet. I've separated you for this purpose." This purpose. He was infusing him with a purpose. God's economy, the truth of God's economy is God's purpose. If we don't see God's economy clearly, we are missing a very, very critical, vital factor. "For this purpose, to appoint you as a minister and a witness both of the things in which you have seen me and in the things in which I will appear to you, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles to whom I send you." And what's it say? To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. I tell you, to see the truth of God's economy opened your eyes.
Amen.
To see the truth of God's economy turns you from darkness to light.
Amen.
And from the authority of Satan to God.
Amen.
Because as surely as God has his truth of his economy, Satan has his chaos in his rebellion. So we get delivered out of the authority of Satan to God, and we experience forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah! Forgiveness of sins means a lot. Forgiveness of sins means freed! I'm freed! Hallelujah! Statue of Liberty, you know. One time we were knocking on doors in Long Beach, California, and this one door we came to, I'll never forget. Now this entire family meets with us. A mom and dad and five kids, seven. But this one girl, Jennifer, she was 3 years old when we came to the door. And we began to talk to her. And they have a Spanish background, but they also speak English. But she heard us calling on the Lord, and when we called on the Lord, sometimes we raised our hands. And a picture on her T-shirt was a picture of the Statue of Liberty. She says, "Mom, Mom, oh, Señor Jesus." Oh, the freedom. Oh, the freedom with the forgiveness of sins. But not only the forgiveness of sins, not just the removal and the forgiving and forgetting of negative things, but, being brought into an inheritance.
Yeah.
Sanctified. Sanctified by God in Christ Jesus. Oh, an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. An inheritance. Brothers and sisters, Paul received the vision of God's economy that frees people and brings them into an inheritance where people could say, "I am rich beyond imagination." I've told this story. I don't mind telling it again. Some of you never heard it. I was in Puerto Rico once. Some very well-educated brothers were talking to me, and they said they'd just been to Nicaragua. They went there to visit, and a brother picked them up, was going to take them to a village to see some brothers and sisters. And he put them in the back of a pickup truck. That's all he had, an old pickup truck. They drove through some streams and muddy roads and went through these sugarcane fields. Finally, they came to this big old cardboard house. And when they looked in the door, there was a sheet on a string dividing the house in two. And they could see some bare feet on the other side of the string. And here were these brothers in a suit and tie. And the sheet moved, and this little sister came out. in a tattered dress, and she just said, "Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Brothers, no, not brothers and sisters. Praise the Lord, brothers. The Lord is rich to all who call on Him."
Amen.
She was apparently poor, but extremely rich. The brothers just felt like digging a hole. They felt very exposed. Here was this person who had nothing, but had everything. She was in the inheritance of the universe. I tell you, this inheritance is awesome. We don't realize what kind of inheritance we have. Wow. If I give Jackson $2 million, woohoo, he's happy. What if I give him the whole state of Ohio, the whole state of Maryland, the whole state of Pennsylvania, the whole state of Virginia, and New Jersey and New York? So look, how about if I give him the whole America and all the wealth that's included, it's all his for his enjoyment? How about if I give him the whole northern hemisphere and the southern hemisphere? How about if I give him the whole earth and it's all his for his enjoyment? How about if I give him the entire universe? Is that a lot to inherit? And you have the ability to inherit. How about if I give him somebody, the Bible says, who fills all in all and overflows the universe?
Hallelujah!
That's rich. Wow. The Lord, He's our inheritance. So if you better turn to your neighbor and say, "Hallelujah, neighbor, I'm rich." And this is not a joke. This is the truth. This is the truth of God's economy. But if you don't see God's economy, you may go around like a pitiful beggar. The Lord's desire is not that we would be pitiful beggars, but glorious inheritors. Or either that or, oh no. Oh, another day. Oh, let's see here. You know, just moaning, groaning. Instead of proclaiming, complaining. But hallelujah for Jubilee! The truth of God's economy is Jubilee. It means ecstasy. Freedom. So anyway, the Lord appeared to Paul. And then what's Paul say in verse 19? Let's read 19 together with a strong spirit. Ready, get set, go. Therefore, amen. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, the first vital factor is the controlling heavenly vision of God's eternal economy. Now, let's move through the outline pretty quickly. Okay. Roman numeral 1, we must walk in the truth of the heavenly vision of God's economy. And then number 2, the mark of God's economy. And 3, the goal of God's economy. This vision must be renewed in us day by day to be the controlling vision of all our living, work, and activity. Friends, sisters, Proverbs 29:18 just says, without a vision, people perish. I was a Christian for many years. I did not have this vital factor, and my Christian life was just deteriorating. But once I found this vital factor, amen, by the Lord's mercy, this vision of God's economy, oh, my Christian life was sevenfold intensified. Amen. And has never stopped going up since that day. Amen. Praise the Lord!
Amen.
But it says, listen, without a vision, people run wild. It says they are without restraint. It says they perish. And you know what it says? A sister verse in Exodus 32:25. It says, without a vision, people are out of control. Out of control. You may be a Christian, but out of control. So there's no joy. There's no release because we're out of control. So may the Lord show us clearly this vital factor of His recovery, which is the economy of God. And brothers and sisters, listen, this vital factor, the economy of God, Look at this little phrase, the economy of God. Really, what it means in apposition, it means the economy is not just a thing. The economy is God. The economy of God is not just something unrelated to God, but this economy is of God. This economy is God.
Amen.
And this economy has a mark. This economy has a goal. So, the economy of God, brothers and sisters, I always like this. The economy of God involves three things: His plan, His way, and His goal. His plan, God's plan, is to distribute and dispense Himself into people. Amen. To be their life supply, to be their everything.
Amen.
So that we're so full of Him. All you brothers in the front row, would you brothers stand up? Look at these brothers. If all these brothers are full of nothing but Christ, you know who they become? They become the enlargement of Christ.
Amen.
They become the body of Christ. And when you look at them, you see Christ expressed.
Amen.
That's what God needs on this earth. Amen. That's what the Lord desires, is His substantial and adequate expression.
Amen.
How does it happen? It happens by God being distributed.
Amen.
And dispensed.
Amen.
With all His riches into these brothers.
Amen.
Then these brothers become not only one, but they become the expression and exhibition of Christ. Thanks, brothers.
Amen.
So this is His plan. His way, brothers and sisters, His way is by this wonderful God who is just Christ. By Him in John 1:14, becoming flesh, He became a man, a God-man. And He accomplished so much, and He went die a wonderful death, and we'll touch all this later. And then He, in resurrection, became a life-giving spirit. This is His way to carry out His plan. And not only did He become the life-giving spirit, but by us believing in Him and calling on His name, He came into us. He came into a particular part of us, and that is our spirit.
Amen.
This is the mark, the central and strategic point of His economy. So this way is with a mark. This way is with a bullseye. There is a bullseye. And then the goal of His wonderful plan, accomplished and worked out through His way with the mark, is the body of Christ. But not in a general way, in a real way. All these brothers, all of us here, have become so full of Christ that we become the body of Christ in reality. So when we see the brothers, what do we see? We see Christ. When I see Bill's body, I see Bill. Bill and his body are the same. And Bill as the head is expressed through his body. So this is his plan, His way, with His mark and the goal. Now, so without this vision, brothers and sisters, we run wild. Now, let's go through. A, God's economy is His plan to dispense Himself into His chosen, predestinated people as their life supply, and their everything to produce, constitute, and build up the organic body of Christ.
Amen.
1 Timothy 1 is tremendous. And if you would like to, just look up that verse in your Bible. 3 and 4, where Paul says, he was charging Timothy, charge the ones in Ephesus, don't teach different things rather than God's economy, which is in faith. Don't teach things. You need to see this vital factor. Otherwise, your Christian life has no meaning. If we remove Bill's heart, Bill's got trouble. This is one of the vital factors. the vision of God's economy. And this economy of God is God in a very practical way with his plan, his way, and his goal. So 1 Timothy 1 is tremendous. Don't teach anything other than God's economy. This will issue in the carrying out of God's heart's desire. Then Titus 1:9 is a very good verse, and it just says, holding to the healthy teaching. Brothers and sisters, this is a vital factor. We want to be holding, like Bill. Bill's taking care of his heart. Holding. Take care of your heart. Take care of this factor. Holding to this healthy teaching. Healthy means it's full of life. It helps us to be living, joyful, radiant, shining. Holding to this vital factor. Holding to this teaching. And then Colossians 2:19 says, to hold to this healthy teaching is actually equal to holding Christ as the head.
Amen.
And remaining. Christ the head is just dispensing and distributing himself to all the members of the body. So we want to be clinging to him, holding to him moment by moment. Amen. So God's divine enterprise is just to distribute himself into us. To distribute himself into us. I'm not here just to give a good message this morning. I'm here to remain constantly in the distribution of God.
Amen.
You're not here just to be merely a good listener. You want to, moment by moment, receive the dispensing. And the distribution of God according to his divine enterprise. Amen. Hallelujah for God's business.
Amen.
How about we shout hallelujah for God's business?
Hallelujah for God's business.
He's in the best business. This one will never fail.
Amen.
Not like our economy today. Amen. So, he's the triune God. So that he could dispense himself. He's one in his existence, one in his essence, but he's three one so that he could dispense himself. Okay, now let's go to B. The mark of God's economy, the strategic and central point of God's economy, is the indwelling subjective Christ. As the Spirit in our spirit, our mingled spirit. Look at all those verses, they're so good. The Lord is the Spirit! 2 Timothy 4:22, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, the Lord be with your spirit.
The Lord be with your spirit.
This is the strategic and central point. The strategic and central point, brothers and sisters, is Christ. Don't miss this point. The strategic and central point is Christ.
Amen.
As the Spirit mingled with your spirit.
Amen.
It's Christ. The point is not just a point. The point is a person.
Right.
As the Spirit, in your spirit.
Amen.
Don't miss the point. Amen?
Amen?
Tell your neighbor. Neighbor, don't miss the point. And 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he who is joined to the Lord is one Spirit. Our wonderful God today is the life-giving Spirit. And he's not just, you know, out there somewhere. And we wave every Sunday. Hey, how you doing? Here's $5. I'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Neither is he the one who just became a man so that he could be among us. Your arm's okay? just to be among us. But he became the life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
So that he could be in David.
Amen.
Hallelujah! So, number one, we must be narrowed down and even zeroed in to the all-inclusive divine spirit in our human spirit so we may be kept from missing the mark of the divine economy. All those verses, brothers and sisters, are so good. I'm going to go through them real quick. 1 Timothy 1, 1 Timothy 1:6, but anyway, 2 Timothy 1:6. I think it's a typo. But anyway, we need to fan our spirit in the flame so that we don't suffer degradation. We don't want to go downhill. We want to keep our spirit. Take care of this mark where Christ is. Then in Malachi, it says, wow, listen to this. Malachi says, don't deal treacherously with the wife of your youth. And it talks about divorce, but the main point it says is if you want to avoid divorce, take care of your spirit.
Amen.
In other words, the principle is this. If you really want oneness, take care of the mark of God's economy.
Amen.
If you don't take care of the mark of God's economy, you could never be one. But here's the secret of our oneness. Don't deal treacherously with the brother next to you. But take care of the oneness.
Amen.
Emmanuel and I take care of our spirit. No problem with the oneness.
Amen.
But if we don't, oh, he complains about me, I complain about him. Eventually there's nothing. Okay. And then Romans 1:9 is, our spirit is the key to serving the Lord. Everybody in here, I know you believe in the Lord, you love the Lord. How do we serve him? I didn't know how to serve him. I just thought it meant doing things for him. But real serving is in the Spirit.
Amen.
Once you're in the Spirit, there's serving. What's serving mean? It means you join him who's dispensing himself into you, and you're one with him, and then you can serve him to others.
Amen.
That's to serve. Serve is not just do things. It's enjoy him and let him come through you into others. That's serve. And then Philippians is, I have no confidence in my flesh. I serve God in my spirit, and I boast in Christ Jesus. You know, many people today are ashamed of Christ. They're just ashamed of Christ. You can talk about the Phillies. You can talk about this. You can talk about that. But you mention Jesus Christ. Ho, 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 ho. Ho, ho, ho. I tell you, in your spirit, we serve the Lord. We have no confidence in our flesh, and we boast in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
Isn't that good? So we want to be those. Then 2 Corinthians 2:13 says, wow, sometimes I want to do something, I want to go somewhere, but I had no rest in my spirit. I had no rest. I got restrained. The depth of my being, there was a little restraint. That's God. That's the wonderful God who not only has a plan, but this wonderful God who has a mark. This economy of God, which is just himself, as the wonderful Spirit in us, has a mark, and we can experience him subjectively in our spirit. Now, number two, in the blueprint of God's original intention, man is the center of the entire universe, and the center of man is his spirit. Let's read A and B together with a strong spirit. Go.
The
Amen. So we need to take care of this blueprint of God's original intention. His economy is focused on this bullseye. So this is tremendous. I put four circles up here. Zechariah 12:1, the Lord God stretched forth the universe. That's you up here. And then he laid the foundation of the earth. The focus of the whole universe, brothers and sisters, whether you believe this or not, according to the truth of the Bible, the focus of the universe is the earth. The focus of the earth is man.
Amen.
It's not just some whales. The focus of man is his spirit. Everything was made according to its kind, but man was created in the image and likeness of God. Amen. And the depth of man and the very secret center of God, of man, is his spirit. Amen. The very target. So we want to be narrowed down, zeroed in to our spirit. Isn't this good? God's target, the bullseye of God's move in his economy is our spirit.
Amen.
And who's the arrow that comes in? God.
Amen.
In Christ.
Amen.
As the Spirit.
Amen.
And now he's wanting to spread in us. Move in us. Make home in us. Anyway, these verses here, I won't get into them because of time, but they all refer to us as a vessel. Romans 9. We're a vessel. 2 Corinthians 4, we're a vessel. But the focal point, the bullseye of this vessel, is our spirit.
Amen.
And there's a verse there, brothers and sisters, I love this verse. It's brought out in the Amplified Version of the Bible. Ecclesiastes 3:11. And 1:2 says, 1:2 of Ecclesiastes, here's Solomon, richest guy at that time. He had everything, everything. He did not need to have a stereo CD player only. He had 400 live singers. He had about 4,000 Jaguar chariots. I don't know. But he was so well. He had everything. And he added up everything. The sum total of everything is zero. He said, vanity of vanity. He had 1,000 wives. Can you imagine that? Was he happy? He was miserable. Miserable. But he's in Ecclesiastes 3:11, here's what it says. I like this. I'll just read the translation. From Amplified. He has implanted eternity in men's hearts and minds. That is a divinely implanted sense of purpose working through the ages which nothing under the sun, but God alone can satisfy.
Amen.
Praise the Lord!
Amen.
So I tell you, you speak to somebody at campus, even they say, I'm an atheist. You believe the Bible. You speak to that atheist. There's a divinely sense, a divinely implanted sense within them of purpose working in them. Even that atheist. I was talking to an agnostic the other day. But I was infused. Divinely implanted sense of purpose working through the ages, which nothing under the sun but God alone can satisfy. Hallelujah! This is awesome. And that's why we need to see not only his plan, but we need to see this mark of his plan. This wonderful spirit we have, which is for receiving him as the Spirit, so that we can be those who really experience him according to his plan.
Amen.
Now, Christ as the life-giving Spirit can be everything to us. When we live in and exercise our spirit, to live in our soul is to live in the principle of Antichrist. Brothers and sisters, if we don't live in our spirit, we live in the principle of Antichrist. What does this mean? What does this mean? Practically, it means Antichrist means anything is against Christ, anything that's against Christ, or anything that replaces Christ. Anything that's against Christ or anything that replaces Christ. But I tell you, when we live in the Spirit, we live one with Christ.
Amen.
And Paul said, for to me, to live is Christ. So we must see this vital. We must see this vital factor of God's economy and the mark, which is our mingled spirit, and live here so that our living could count. Our living would not be at all against Christ or replacing Christ. The Lord is very jealous that we would see how precious he is and that in our daily living, nothing would replace him. Okay, now number four, the Lord's recovery is the recovery of the oneness in our spirit. To be in our spirit is to be in Jerusalem, the place of simplicity and oneness, whereas to be in our mind is to be in Babylon, the place of confusion and division. So 2 Corinthians 1 again, 6 and 7 says, fan into flame the gift of God that's in you, your mark, your mingled spirit, so that you can stand against confusion. Stand against confusion. Stand against division. The way to take a stand against confusion and division is get into your spirit.
Amen.
Oh, so wonderful. When I began to touch my spirit, I realized, wow, I just hated anything of confusion and division. My wife and I are married going on 45 years this year. And if my wife and I don't exercise our spirit, even in our relationship, confusion. But thank the Lord, we're both learning, practicing. And as we take care of this mark practically, we enjoy Jerusalem!
Yeah.
We enjoy oneness. An unbelievable oneness that only God's people can experience because it's related to the mark of His economy. Here in Jerusalem is the place of simplicity and oneness. Ephesians 2:22 is referred to there. Anybody in this room know Ephesians 2:22? If you do, stand up and speak it, and we'll say amen. I know somebody does. Matt does. We'll say amen when Matt speaks it.
In whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in spirit.
Amen. It's wonderful. Brothers and sisters, any moment we're in the Spirit, we are being built together.
Amen.
Into God's dwelling place.
Amen.
At that moment, you're being built together.
Right.
We're being built together. I love these brothers here, and I interact with them a lot. And we brothers realize we've experienced a lot of building. But that building is only realized as we take care of the Spirit. And that building is indestructible. So we want to be simple, single, pure. That's like, when I began to just see the simplicity of the church life, go back to the beginning, my friends ask me, you know, over and over again, what church do you belong to, this kind of thing. Eventually, when I began to see the truth and just went back to the simplicity of the oneness of the body of Christ, the church was so simple, so pure. And this is just, for example, just in a city like Jerusalem, there was just one church. One city, one church. It's so simple, so pure. When we're in the Spirit, our life is so simple, so pure. When you get outside of your spirit, right, Jackson, everything is so complicated and so confused. Thank the Lord for life in the Spirit, the mark of God's economy. Now, our spirit is a country of grace. Whoa, to swallow up the race for the one new man. Among us, even in this room, lots of different backgrounds. I travel a lot and I see so many people from so many. There's no way to swallow up race, except by grace. Except by a group of people being in their spirit enjoying Christ.
Amen.
Only then can race be swallowed up. Race is swallowed up by grace. Okay, our spirit is a country of grace to swallow up race for the one new man. Our mind is a country of quarreling. Wow. To enjoy the Lord as the Spirit in our spirit is to have the grace with us. When this is lost, the degradation of the church is present. Uh-oh. The degradation of the church is present. Galatians 6:18. Would you all look up that spirit, that verse, please? Galatians 6:18. I hope everybody in the room could at least memorize this verse. Galatians 6:18 is a wonderful verse. not hard to remember, but let's read it with our spirit. Okay, everybody has it? Ready? Go. Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Now read that to your neighbor. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers.
Amen.
Wow, where is grace? And brothers and sisters, what's grace? Grace is God in Christ as the Spirit coming to us to be our life and our life supply for our enjoyment. Oh, when you have grace, no problem. I've illustrated when we had our second baby, my mother-in-law came to visit us many years ago in Denver. And one day we were shopping. We had one little girl, and we had now a second little girl. And we were going shopping, and we were looking for baby stuff and stuff. And I'm not a very good shopper. But it was getting near dinner time, and it was getting late, and I was getting hungry. And eventually my wife said, "Can we go to one more store?" And I didn't answer in a good way. I said, "No, we're not. We got to go home." I didn't answer in a good way, and her mother got mad, and she said, "Don't you speak to my daughter that way?" And then I got mad. I said, "Don't you speak to her husband that way?" I was mad, and then we drove all the way home without one sound in the car. My wife went to the refrigerator, took some food out, heated it up, put it on the table. No sounds. Except the baby crying. Then we began to take a bite of food after I felt a little better. I wasn't in the church life then, but I was a Christian. But I didn't know much how to enjoy the Lord. I felt a little better, and I looked at my mother-in-law. I said, "Oh, Mom, I'm sorry for what I said." She said, "Oh, son, I'm sorry for what I said." And my wife, "Oh, I'm sorry." Everybody was sorry. The joy was there. The joy was there. That's grace. Grace is God supplying us. You know, when you're not supplied, everything under the sun irritates you. Everything. The weather. Who you're sitting next to. The way people look at you. Your clothes, your shoes, everything. Oh, I got another pimple. If I look at that, I'd be wiped out. I got so many lumps, bumps, pimples. Hallelujah! Amen. Brothers and sisters, hallelujah for grace!
Amen.
Grace is in our spirit. So how about turn to your neighbor again and say, "Neighbor, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." Okay. Now, see, the goal of God's eternal economy, here's the goal. The goal of God's eternal economy is the reality of the body of Christ consummating in the New Jerusalem. Ephesians 1:22 and 23 says, head up all things in Christ. Things in the heavens, things on the earth in Him, and subjecting all things under His feet, giving Him to be the head over all things to the church. Head over all things to the church, which is His body.
Amen.
The fullness of the One who fills all in all.
Amen.
Wow. The goal of God's economy is that we become the fullness of the One who overflows the universe. We become His fullness. And eventually this fullness is in Revelation 21, New Jerusalem. There's a lot here, and we'll touch this more. New Jerusalem is not a dead, material, lifeless, physical city. It's a glorious expansion of Christ. It's the duplication of Christ. The expansion of the triune God, His reproduction, His enlargement in a consummated way. If you see the New Jerusalem, you will be dancing for eternity. You won't just dance because the Phillies won. You will dance because of the vision of God's economy!
Yeah.
Woohoo! While Luke 15 says, "Let us eat and be merry." If you see this vision, you'll be a merry person.
Amen.
And when the older son came back to the house, he heard music and dancing. Not just in a worldly word, but they were crazily, they were happy to see the vision of God's economy. The goal is the reality of the body of Christ. In other words, stand up, brothers. All you brothers there, see. These brothers, because they see God's plan, they take care of the mark of God's economy, they have become constituted with Christ to become Christ again, living on this earth.
Amen.
In oneness. They're Christ living again on the earth in His divinely enriched humanity.
Amen.
When people see Him, they see Christ.
Amen.
This is for His expression. So, thank you, brothers. Otherwise, if we don't see this vision and the goal of God's economy, we will just be Christians who are on this earth for ourselves. What can He do for me? How can He help me? Where should I live? Blah, blah, blah. What should I do? It doesn't mean these things aren't important to Him. But if we don't see the big picture, our whole life is out of context. Anything out of context is a problem. We need to see God's purpose, God's need, the economy of God. And our Christian life just makes sense. And then we can become people who are genuinely reveling because of the controlling vision of God's economy. Well, I've already violated our time, so just be at peace. We will adjust somehow. Okay, number one, without the local churches, there's no practical expression of the body of Christ. There can be no reality of the body of Christ. Well, this takes some time, and we will touch this a little bit later. But listen, in Jerusalem, suppose there were 15, how about if there were 200 different so-called churches in Jerusalem? Wow. But in the beginning, there was not 15, not 200 different. It was just the church in Jerusalem. They met in many homes. But who were they? They were the church.
Yeah.
Where did they live? Jerusalem. So that wasn't even their title. It was just, we're the church. We happen to be in Jerusalem. I live in L.A. We're the church. We just happen to be in L.A. We're the church. Philadelphia. Amen. Oh, there's an expression in every locality. This is for the reality of the body of Christ. Christ to be realized and expressed in that city. God's eternal economy is to obtain the body of Christ. Any work outside of this is not the central lane of God's economy. Brothers and sisters, Ephesians 4 says, we want to be those who walk worthily of God's calling. As a Christian, ask your neighbor a question right now. Neighbor, what's my main responsibility in my Christian walk? What did your neighbor say? I tell you, your main responsibility, according to Ephesians, in your Christian walk, is to be diligent to keep the oneness of the Spirit. That's what the Lord needs for His testimony. This is the goal of His economy. Is the body of Christ in reality? And what's the outstanding characteristic of the body of Christ? Oneness. Oneness. Oneness means everything. You have a married couple. He's very rich, billionaire, gifted, talented, popular. His wife is beautiful, talented, gifted, also popular. They have no oneness. They have zero. Another couple. He's ugly. Not much money. Can't do much. She's more ugly. Can't do much. Nothing. They have oneness. They have everything. Just a little illustration. Oneness means everything. Hallelujah! The goal of God's economy is the reality of the body of Christ. The outstanding characteristic of the body is oneness. So be diligent to keep the oneness of the Spirit. Now, we must follow the footsteps of the Apostle Paul to bring all the saints into the blending life of the entire body of Christ. Brothers and sisters, this is my first time to be at the East Coast College Conference. I am so delighted. I thank the Lord for His mercy to me. I am zero, but thank the Lord I'm joined to my hero. And I am so glad to be with you. And I don't know if there's usually this many, but it seems like a good number. And what a blessing to blend. I don't know how many localities, but I think there's a lot. And I tell you, this is not a small thing to come together. But we don't come together just to all be in the same room. We come together to be in our spirit. In our spirit. We want to use this phrase, through the cross, by the Spirit, just giving Christ to each other, caring for the building up of the oneness of the body of Christ. Oh, blending, hallelujah. Blending, hallelujah. Blending, hallelujah. Blending, hallelujah. Yes, blending is the way. Praise the Lord!
Amen.
Blending is the way. Brothers and sisters, in the same chapter of 1 Corinthians 12, where it says, God has blended the body together. Let there be no divisions among you. Blending is so helpful. On one hand, it's a trouble to drive from here, drive from there, fly from here, fly from there, drive over here, get to a place you're not used to, sleeping and somebody snoring beside you and all that. On the other hand, it's marvelous. Blending. Hallelujah! And you know, 1 Corinthians 12 begins with this. No man can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ephesians, 1 Corinthians 12 begins with calling on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
It says, you really want to blend? Call on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Let's call on the name of the Lord three times. Oh, Lord
Jesus.
Then verse 13 says, also in one spirit were you all baptized into one body. You're all given to drink one spirit. Later today, we're going to share a word about baptism. But I tell you, to be baptized is not a small thing. When you get baptized, it initiates you into the blending and into the mingling. It's a great help. It's a great help. And we can enjoy the reality of baptism every day when we're in our spirit. Okay. Now, for the Lord's recovery in this age, we must cooperate with the Lord to be the overcomers as today's Zion in today's Jerusalem, the church life, for the building up of the body of Christ to consummate the new Jerusalem. Brothers and sisters, verse 31 of Judges 5 is good. It says, may all your enemies so perish, O Jehovah, but may all those who love Him be like the sun when it arises in its might. This type of blending together and caring for God's plan, His mark, and His goal is help us, all of us, to love the Lord more so that we would shine as the sun.
Amen.
The Lord wants us, wherever we are, to be those who are shining with Him as His testimony, just like the sun, and the key is to love Him.
Amen.
Lord, we love You!
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we love You! Hallelujah! I love to go into a bank or somewhere and a teller just says, well, how are you doing today? I said, oh, I am doing so good. You know why? They said, why? I said, because I love the Lord Jesus. They don't know what to say because when love, there's just nothing like love. You can say, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian, and I think he's very nice and I would advise you to have some respect for him, and I think it would be very good if you would consider him. But I tell you, the Lord, it's different when you tell somebody, I love the Lord Jesus. Well, tell your neighbor, I love the Lord Jesus. How about if I turn to my wife and say, I respect you, and you're pretty good. Not bad. Mm-hmm. And how about Bob turns to Mary? Bob, Mary, you're nice, and I... But boy, Bob turns and says, oh, Mary, I love you. She says, I love you. I tell you, God's economy is a love story.
Amen.
Let's read D together. Teachings that differ from the unique and healthy teaching of God. Amen. This is a vital factor.
Amen.
Don't get distracted by any other teaching. This is the most critical teaching. The teaching, the healthy teaching of the apostles, God's economy. When you touch this teaching, you will be a person always brought into love with the Lord.
Amen.
This teaching causes you to love the Lord.
Amen.
So when I take a walk or something, I just say, Lord Jesus, I'm just going to smuggle you. I tell you, the teaching of God's economy, which is just God dispensing himself into us, is a love matter. It's a love matter. Woohoo! Hallelujah! Well, E. Let's read E together. Today... So in conclusion, brothers and sisters, our oneness as believers depends on this vital factor of the vision of the truth of God's economy. That's why we want to walk in the truth of God's economy.
Amen.
Then there's oneness. We brothers, we have a reality of oneness.
Amen.
Not because of who we are dispositionally, but altogether because of the vital factor of the economy of God.
Amen.
With his plan, his way, with his mark, which is our spirit, and the goal, the body of Christ. The last verse there that's mentioned, Jeremiah 32:39, says, and I will give them one heart and one way to fear me all their days for their own good and for the good of their children after them. Brothers and sisters, we came together this weekend for our good.
Amen.
And for the good of everybody that's related to us.
Amen.
We would be under the controlling vision of this vital factor of God's wonderful economy.
Amen.
Praise the Lord!
Amen.
Okay, we've really violated the time. But I'll tell you what we're going to do. Okay, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to speak to our neighbor just for 30 seconds or whatever, anything that we enjoyed, anything that we jotted down, any little asterisk, any appreciation, and don't despise your little appreciation. Just one little point is very critical. So speak to your neighbor right now. Go.